This line is burning, turning to ashes. It hits the ear. Every step is a day in the week. It's a Sunday or Monday, March over months of the year.
Welcome to Nosecast. Homilies delivered in the Holy Gnosis of Thomas Chapel, the Ecclesia Gnostica, in Salt Lake City, Utah, by the Reverend Troy Pierce.
The day is Quinquagesima, the Sunday before the beginning of Lent. It is the last of these preparatory days before Lent, the fiery days. The color is red, the intent of the Holy Spirit. Today the intent is the Holy Spirit is the fire of love. This past week was also Valentine's Day, or as I much prefer to think of it, the day of the Holy Valentinus. Either way you look at it, it's a day where the world, for the most part, it's the Western world. And wherever our consumer-oriented culture has gotten its leg in the rest of the world, celebrate romantic love. It's a good excuse to buy things, for the most part. But it is kind of our secular holiday of love. We come to these points in the cycle, the liturgical year again, things that we are mindful of is that we have been here before. The years go around, cycles go around. What I'm mindful of is the intent in the past week has been largely oriented to love is the song from the musical Rent and asks the question, how do we measure a year? The chorus is 526,800 minutes, something like that. Exact number of minutes there are in a year. And we normally don't notice each particular minute going by. We may not even pay all that much attention to each particular day. But ask how to measure a year, and the song, of course, has an answer, and that is to measure it in love. Really, this is a wise attitude. When we look back through the cycles, parts that really are meaningful to us, that really resonate with us through future cycles, are those moments of love, those aspects of love, those relationships that involve love. Indeed, when we come to the end of life, looking back at the whole of life, I've done quite a bit at various funerals of the past few months, what I tend to focus on also is love. That is the meaningfulness, a lot of ways, of life. Meaningfulness is larger than love, in a way, as a category, perhaps. But love is the anchor for meaningfulness. We are able to endure many things in life, as long as it has a meaning. And most of the time, that meaning is anchored in love. We do not have meaning. Perhaps when we do not have a sense of being anchored in love, then we are without that vitality of life. Comes so to mind at this time of year. Burning spring behind whatever the weather is. Or the fire of love, as the intent says. This red blood and fire that drapes these days. We do not have that. Or rather adrift. And we had an incident that shows the ultimate ends that can arrive into our lives from a lack of these things. Past Monday, individual went on a killing spree and ended up killing people who were in the process of preparing for the holiday of love for Valentine's Day. We're celebrating it early. And what people commented on was that there was no emotion in this individual. There was no reaction. We're reminded that the opposite of love isn't hate. It is a complete lack of regard, a lack of empathy, or perhaps contempt might be a better way of looking at it, more active way of looking at it. When there is no love at all, then there is contempt and a lack of meaning. We'll never know. So many people locally are trying to find out what the meaning of these things are. The meaning of it is for a person to go and kill other people. The meaning of the loss of their loved ones. The meaning of their own suffering for those wounded. Or merely the trauma, the suffering of the psyche, for those involved. Because it has no meaning. It is the result of the absence of meaning. Was a meaningless act. A desperate person trying to end a meaningless life in a way that he somehow thought might lend it meaning. Things happen in different ways, different times and places, but we can see a similarity. A person who desperately seeks meaning and blowing themselves up in a crowd. Those who do terrible things. It's happened also anciently. I have reports of a failed athlete whose name escapes me at the moment who pulled down a school on top of the children in ancient Greece. He lost the Olympic Games. And there are other examples of people being destructive so that their name will be remembered in some way. So that in that final desperate act, they hope to get that meaning that escaped them before. Problem is, of course, is not only is this meaningless, but it doesn't serve. It doesn't give their lives meaning, give their deaths meaning. It merely continues the meaninglessness and suffering. Look at the gospel for today, which is probably my favorite passage from the New Testament. It's from the letter of Paul to the Corinthians, and it talks about the nature of love. I often think of it as the hymn of love. And in Greek, this isn't just love. In English, we just have one word, love, but Greek has more than one. It has agape, which is the highest love, loving kindness, compassionate love, divine love, if you will. Though our celebration in the secular world was more of Eros, or romantic love, or erotic love. There is an element of agape in that as well. And in his letter, Paul talks about what it is, what love is. Love in this highest sense is. And he puts it as the very foundation of all that we do. That whatever we might try to accomplish, whatever gifts we might have, whatever success we may have met, whatever skills we may have, if it is without love, without agape, then it's meaningless. No matter how eloquent we might speak, if we are talking without some foundation, some connection, and love, then what we're saying is meaningless. If we may act, whatever knowledge we may have, without love, it does not have any real value. For value is another way of looking at meaning. What is worth something? It's meaningful. What is meaningful is worth something. So, he talks about this in lots of different ways. That we must root ourselves in love in order to be able to do anything that has meaning. And we as human beings are often starved for meaning. What we really seek and need is something meaningful. Talk of meaningful relationships. Talking about is relationships that have meaning to us, that provide us with meaning. We look about in the world, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of meaning prepared for us out there coming our way. I mean, there's an overabundance of this. Perhaps the rarest thing in the world. And human beings seek meaning from a very young age. We try to make sense of the world, try to make sense of ourselves in the world, of other people, of what all of this is about. Look at the whole of our religious history throughout all of humanity. as being a way of incorporating different aspects and elements of meaning. All of our sciences, our philosophies, our arts, all human struggles, what is so human about it is the need for meaning, the search for meaning. If we listen to the wisdom of Paul, we know that the root of this, the base of this, the anchor of meaning, is love. With that, whatever we might do. Rather, we don't have to try to be the absolute best, most eloquent, the person who accomplishes so much in the world that somehow the world will give us meaning. The world is pretty stingy with meaning. It's not going to give it to really anybody. There are accounts of people who, by all accounts, are very successful and envied for the meaning they supposedly have, who live very empty lives, very miserable. It is this love that gives us that meaning. So it is this love that ties us into the very stream of life, the joy of life, that fire of life, fire that was within us. The gospel is in the gospel of the Cathars. And Christ speaks to us as being his little ones, those who are not quite grown up, not quite fully realized. This is another way of looking at being as children, we will enter the kingdom. There is something in this openness to being less than complete, shall we say. Hard to speak about because our language really doesn't encompass this notion that it would be good to not be somehow the end result of everything, the big cheese of our own little life. But if we look at it realistically, no matter how far we are on in life, no matter how old we are, there is whole aspects of ourselves that are little ones, that are as children. And it is in that way that we can then strive and grow. It is as children, as little ones, that we are searching for meaning, not hiding behind different ideas and structures of meaning that we might have, having different persona or masks and different roles, and trying to seek our meaning in all of that. That's trying to find your meaning out there in the world, and it's generally doomed to failure. Mondaeans wisely said, I have no trust in the world. There's no faith one can have in that. And faith is another aspect of meaning. So if we look for meaning in this transcendent relationship to God, in this love of God, in the aspect of God as love, and it is a meaning that extends beyond our current circumstances, beyond the meaninglessness that so often overwhelms us in our lives, meaninglessness of tragedies, of so much that goes on in the world. These things aren't driven by rational considerations. They aren't tied into love in any way. So much of what people do, even what people do collectively, is rather meaningless. The place where we must seek that meaning, root ourselves and anchor ourselves, is in this transcendent love, an agape, in which we participate, not just in receiving the love of God, but in conveying the love of God. And that's also what the lesson speaks of. It says that those who would plow grasp the plow firmly. If you are to be a servant, then really do it. For everyone who gives a drink of water, my little ones will be blessed. Whoever nourishes them. And that is each other. But that is also ourselves. We can nourish ourselves. We nourish all those around us. We don't need a framework of religion or anything in particular to do that. The only framework we need is agape, is loving kindness. And we can make those connections. And we can nourish one another. And increase our own participation in meaning, as well as those others' participation in meaning. And that really is the way to living a more happier, more fulfilled life. Not an idea of meaning, not a system of meaning that we can be satisfied with and have answers to everything. But the real process of meaning, which is tied into love. In the end of the Gospel, Christ says, where there is one of my little ones, there I am. Same if there are two or there are three. This echoes gospel from a couple of Sundays back from Thomas, So where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. I will be there. And this is that extra element, the transcendent element, that comes in whenever there is this regard, this loving kindness, this agape. For when we come together with this transcendent meaning, with our whole selves, with this love that transcends any of the paltry things of the world, this transcendent love, this divine love, then God is there. And unlike Thomas, this gospel passage starts with where there is one. And this points to a deeper aspect as well. For even within ourselves, we must approach the various aspects of ourselves with love. Approach our understanding of ourselves, rooted, anchored in love. Define the meaning of our lives in that transcendent way. And not merely look and see whether I make enough money to be somebody or successful in the various different ways of the world. But the meaningfulness doesn't come from those things. Many people find their meaningfulness in marriage or in kids or in jobs or in whatever. But the real meaningfulness we must always seek is rooted deeply within ourselves. And when we find that, we then have more to give to everything else in our lives. To family, to children, to our jobs, to our co-workers. Without it, we are desperately trying to make those things outside of us, serve our meaning, give us our need for meaning. Not only is that unfair, it's also doomed to fail at some point. Whereas if we find our meaning within ourselves, in the transcendent, in the divine, we then become spring, can provide for others as well, help them. We then become a person of light, shining in the world. We no longer are trying to grasp and seek from the world. We're no longer a force trying to consume the world. We're one that can provide abundance to the world. It comes from this inner rootedness, this inner regard. This regard that even being alone, even being one, there might be agape, God is love, within us. It's not easy, as everything that is real is not easy. It's also not all that difficult to begin. It's just hard to keep at it all the time. You go through many cycles. But in all of the cycles, get back to the song from Rent, measure them in love. And you will see they are not merely cycles. They are spirals. That by measuring in love, by seeing that dimension, our lives become so much more meaningful, more rooted beyond the world, rooted in the divine, rooted in the fullness that existed before the world and will exist after the world. So, make our preparations for Lent, make our Fat Tuesday celebrations. Let us consider the true nature of love, the fire of love, and God is love. The Holy Spirit is the fire of love. May Mr. That which hangs twixt heaven and earth, send upon us, remain with us. Amen. For more information and resources on Gnosticism, visit the Gnosis Archive at gnosis.org. That's GNOSIS.ORG. And the Gnosis Institute at gnosisinstitute.org. If you would like to continue receiving these podcasts, please consider a voluntary subscription of either $13 or $25 a year. That's $1 to $2 a month to make it possible to continue to provide this service. Thank you.